Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Wholeness Podcast. I'm your host, Melissa Catherine, intuitive coach specializing in mindset mastery and committed to bringing you back to wholeness, the truth of who you were before you ever thought you were less than, whether it's due to a number on the scale, a trauma, or challenges in life. So many of us have limiting beliefs that we somehow aren't enough, and I'm here to tell you it's just not true. As a leader in transformation, having been a coach for almost a decade, with a background as a nutritionist, fitness expert, and hypnotherapist, I specialize in emotional and mindset mastery, with a spiritual connection to support you in living your best life in a body that you love. Listen each week to receive expert guidance, live coaching, and have your questions answered. It's time for you to have wholeness now.
Oh my God. All right, guys, I am so excited to have, this is like my man here. This is one of my dearest friends, epic colleague, Dr. Jay Tata. What is up?
What's going on? I love you back. How are you?
Oh my God. I love you so much. And we have so much to talk about. I just want to give everybody a little bit of a snapshot about just how epic you are. He is an integrative physician, author, and entrepreneur, author of 7 books in the genres of health and fitness and personal development, including bestseller Metabolic Aftershock and Renewal. He teaches, writes, and works in the areas of personal development, weight loss, and metabolism. And you can find him, definitely, we'll put all the links below, but on social media at Jay Tata. Definitely follow him. His Instagram is epic. And I'm going to say epic about 100 more times because I'm slightly obsessed. Okay. Welcome. I love that tomorrow is Thanksgiving and you are here with me. One of the things that I know you got started and really known for metabolism and helping people to jumpstart the metabolism, get in the best shape of their lives, like a lot of things health and body related. And now you've really taken a lot of your work and personal development and moved into what you call the next level human.
Yeah.
So just so because I love this and we're gonna jam and get into all the philosophies, but tell me, for you, what is the next level human?
Well, I mean, I think, so everyone listening, right? We know, let's all think back to when we were children, right? And we kind of had this idea, maybe, people maybe said it was crazy or it wasn't realistic, but we had this sense that we were here for something, right? That we wanted to be great at something, that we were maybe meant for something. I think all kids sort of have this. So the idea of the next level human is this state of being where you as an individual realize, you wake up one day and you start to realize, listen, I have a unique voice, a unique spiritual fingerprint that makes me unique and different from everyone else out there. And that it is my job to do what I need to do to reach that next level best self. That person who is driven by purpose, not power, who's driven by purpose, not popularity, who's driven by purpose, not pleasure. You wake up to this and you essentially say, what is purpose, right? Purpose is this humble recognition that I, Jade Tita, that you, Melissa Catherine, that everyone listening, is here for a very specific reason. We could be teaching the exact same things, but some people are going to hear Melissa Catherine's voice and not mine. This is what I mean by being the next level human, and to be committed to being that best self, not just for you, but for humanity. And to me, that's the whole reason that we're on the planet in the first place. So a next level human recognizes this and is all about the work that it takes to be this.
Okay, I love that. For some reason, like Superman keeps coming in to my mind, because I think not in the sense of, you know, next level human, but just that there was something that made him different. It was about serving, and there was a purpose behind it that didn't have to do with being the best or popularity or other things of that nature. Yep. So then what's a base level human?
Well, a base level human is somebody who is essentially chasing power for the most part. In other words, they've got things. Power is easily confused, I think, with purpose a lot of times.
Yeah.
People chase power because they are what? If you have power, what is the thing that you no longer have to deal with? You no longer have to deal with uncertainty, right? Because if you're all powerful, then you know it. And you got everyone sort of, pulling for you. You're in control of everything. Yeah. So a base level human is an individual who's lost sight of the purpose and is instead chasing power. And you can see this happen in many, many different ways. And by the way, when I talk about base level human versus next level human, and I guess we're going to talk about the culture level human as well, we're all three of these. It's just where we're spending most of our time. So when we're base level, we are combative, we are manipulative, we're all about wanting to win, right? That's the goal, to be powerful, to soothe uncertainty in a sense. And when we show up that way, we are disconnecting from our purpose driven self. And we are instead connecting to this power-driven self.
So would you say power is synonymous with love? Because that's kind of what I'm thinking. Like when people really want power, when they want acknowledgement, when they want to be famous, when they want to be the best, it's really that they want to be loved, right? In so many ways.
I think love is a big piece of it, but I think it goes to the word I would use here is I would use the word fulfilled. And fulfilled essentially means what they're really searching for is fulfillment, because fulfillment is this interesting thing where it's basically saying, I have achieved something worthwhile that only I could, and I'm proud of it in a sense. Mm-hmm. Because once we feel fulfilled, then we almost feel like we are at that point, we can accept love, that we have actually, and the reason why is because when we feel fulfilled, we feel we have loved the world, and now we feel we can have let it love us back. So I think what happens with base level humans is they get confused, and they confuse power with fulfillment. So they go, if I have power, I will feel fulfilled. But the fact of the matter is that here's an interesting philosophy, and I want to hear what you think about this. When you chase power and only power, think about what happens. Like, take that to the nth degree, right? If someone who's all powerful, they eventually end up destroying the world in the process because they essentially co-opt everybody's individuality for their own use. And in the end, once they become all powerful, there's nothing else left to be powerful over. And so they end up destroying themselves in a sense. And so what happens is it's a misguided goal set in a sense. And if you want an example of this in history, we'll use someone that everyone knows, and it's kind of a cliche to use them, but someone like Hitler was a base level. Yeah. Someone like this was a base level leader who got confused along the way, chasing solely power, and was in the process of destroying the world and himself in pursuit of that. So at our worst as humans, we're all base level humans at times. And at our worst, when we're showing up base level, we are actually doing a disservice and being dysfunctional and destroying to the world around us. And we all know what that feels like. It doesn't feel, it feels as far away from love and fulfillment as you can get.
It's so true. I also just find it so fascinating, sidebar, that Hitler was vegan. But
yes. Yeah, he was. And an environmentalist.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
And an environmentalist.
Okay. So it's interesting because fulfillment, like I always say to my clients, I'm always like, there's nothing that feels better than going to bed really proud. Proud of the way you ate that day, proud of the way that you showed up in the world, proud of the way of the work that you did, right? And I think that feeds into fulfillment. And I wanted you specifically on today before Thanksgiving and as we're stepping into this holiday season and as COVID is back on the beautiful rise that it is, because I think a lot of people are in search of fulfillment, are actually reflecting on themselves and their lives going, I'm not fulfilled. Either my relationship is not what I thought it would be, my health isn't, I haven't put my time into these places, and they're starting to question a lot and are saying, what is it that I want? And also ending at a career or, you know, the clock of the corporate ladder, not that that's a bad thing, right? But for some people that are going, I don't want that. So what do we say are those first steps for the person that's going, I want to be next level. I want to take my life to the next level. I want to be purpose driven. I didn't learn that growing up, because many of us learn, make money, provide, make money. You don't have to do what you love. Creative things are hobbies, right? And that there's certain jobs. I know, at least for my generation, it was like, be a teacher, be a lawyer, be a doctor, but it wasn't like, pursue your passions and you can make anything, right? Like, it was a bit different. Yeah. So I know this is a lot of questioning, but how do you get started in kind of awakening to that, and then not just having it stop you in your tracks with a lot of fear of like, my whole life doesn't look aligned, and how do I now start going, that's not fulfilling me, and I want to start going to that next level? Like, where do they begin?
Yeah. Well, the first thing is, it's a really interesting discussion, right? And I'll get to that in just a second. But we talked about the base level human chasing power. Well, yeah. The first thing, so you can't be a power seeker. And you'll see this. You bring up Thanksgiving. You'll see it around the table when people start to want to be self-righteous, or they start to want status, or they want to bring you into discussions where they're right and everyone else is wrong. This is base level behavior. So you don't get purpose that way, but you also don't get purpose chasing popularity, which is a culture level mindset. When you're talking about, I went into law because I thought it would make me money, or I got this degree because I thought it was the best degree to get, or because my dad got this degree. When we're talking about all that, this is looking at your life through the lens of society. It's a very culture level way of looking at it. When the first step to getting out of that for purpose, which was your question, is to recognize that I, Jade Tita, and you, Melissa Catherine, and everyone listening to this has a unique set of circumstances that you came into the world with. There's your people, your mothers, your fathers, your siblings, all the people around you, the good and the bad, the ones that hurt you and the ones that helped you. So you have your people. You also have your passions, the things that you were interested in, right? You had your superpowers, the things that you were really good at, right? You had your unique personality, your unique perspective, the unique way you saw the world. And most importantly, you had your unique pain, right? So I call these the five P's of purpose, right? Your people, your passion, your superpowers, your pain. And I'm missing the fifth one. What's the fifth one? Your people, your passions, your perspective, your personality, your pain. Now, here's what's really interesting about this. All these five things are incredibly unique to you. No one else has your story. So what ends up happening is those five things paint a picture. I call it the spiritual fingerprint that makes Melissa, Melissa, that makes Jade, Jade. And only I can bring that experience to the world. So that's the first step. Once you recognize that, you go, oh, wow, I actually am unique. Very unique. I have a unique perspective, unique pain, unique superpowers, unique passions, unique pain that make me me, that allow me to teach things that no one else can teach. Now, watch what happens. And I'll do this by telling a brief story, if you don't mind. This is what happens. Once you're operating from this point, so I was standing in line at a Whole Foods right around this time of year, a few years back, in Santa Monica, California, and it was packed. It was at rush hour time. It's right around Thanksgiving. Everyone's getting their stuff. And someone or two people must not have shown up for work that particular day. They were short and the lines were backed up. Two lines. Everyone's sitting there. I am third in line. There's an elderly woman who's first getting checked out, a man behind her, then me, and then a slew of people. Now, this particular elderly woman was dealing with dementia. She was dealing with, every time the young man at the counter would scan her item, she would say, that's not mine. No, what is that? She didn't even know that the orange was the orange. She was getting very confused. Yeah. And this was going on for an agonizingly long period of time. So we're talking 3 to 5 minutes. When you're standing in line with a bunch of people, that is a very difficult amount of time to be sitting there. And people started to get agitated. Very agitated. And the man behind the woman turned to me and said, can you believe this? Like, what the hell is going on? So upset. Now, by this time, I had already started to notice the cashier. And the cashier was working from a very purpose-driven place. This guy Not only was he incredibly compassionate and patient, but he began to become playful and loving. And what about this? Oranges are great, and playing these games with her, right? And just was totally present with this woman. And all of a sudden, in this line of people that was went from agitation to anger, he begins to start to amuse all of us. And then we go to amusement, to laughter, to happy, to elation. And now we're all having the best time in the world standing in line with this particular woman and this cashier. He made that happen. He did that. Now we're sitting here talking about him. I don't know his name, but I've told this story over and over again. And the ripples that he created in that day made a difference for all of us. And now you're all hearing about this. That is purpose. Now, when I got up to the line and talked to him, I said, he goes, man, I'm so sorry for the wait. And I said, dude, that's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Thank you. Thank you for that whole experience. Yeah. He was a little bit confused by that. But here's what I learned walking out of there from this guy, that he did not define and was not feeling fulfilled based on how much money he was making that day or what job his parents thought he had. He was simply showing up using his unique story, his people, his pain, his passions, his superpowers, right? All of these things to bring to bear for us to have an experience of him in a way that made a difference for humanity. That's what I mean by purpose. Now, we get to do this every single time we interact with humans. And the big mistake we make is we think that purpose is tied to our job. It is for some of us. You and I get to do, we're one of the two of the lucky ones, right? We get to do our job is our purpose. Most of us, our purpose has nothing to do with our job. And by the way, Melissa and I also, we have to show up. And if we're really going to be purposeful, we have to show up the person right in front of us, not just in our work. And it makes all the difference in the world. Now, this particular guy, he may have gone home fulfilled. I hope he did. But the most important thing about purpose is that it gets passed on. I felt fulfilled. I went out and did kinder things that day. And I know that everyone who was in that line was better for having been around him. And only he could have pulled that off in that setting, in that way, with that woman, with all of our ears tuned to him. That's what I mean by purpose. And when you get in touch with that, everything begins to change, because then it doesn't matter where you work. It doesn't matter who's sitting around the dinner table Thanksgiving. It doesn't matter. All that matters is that you are showing up in the way that you can and in the way only you can. That's what I mean when I say purpose. And to have that recognition is eye-opening.
Yeah.
We are an experience for everyone else.
I love that. So you had mentioned, you know, the five P's. And I love, you know, when you were sharing, because I always say, you know, your heart's desires are unique to you, which means they're meant for you. Your talents, there is only one Jade, right? There's only one me. We have distinct things that we were born with, gifts, things that lit us up that we naturally were able to do. What happens when we lose sight of those, when life has kind of takes hold, or we find ourselves kind of going, like, I don't even know what that was for me anymore. I've been caught up in the rat race, or I've been, you know, I've been doing this or I've been doing that. And I don't actually know what that is for me. I don't know how to get back in touch with that. Mm. How do we get in touch with those parts of ourselves that maybe we lost or never deemed that important to begin with? You know, like I had shared with one of my groups, I was like, and I was talking with my mom, and I was just saying, you know, mom, I'm like, I made my prom dress, you know, like, I'm like, I went to an all girls private Catholic school. There's not one other girl that made her dress that came home and said, can you help me go find material? I cut some images out of a magazine and I want to do this with this, having no background, right? Like, didn't know, had never taken classes. And I'm like, I didn't deem that as a gift, right? Or like I was, this is pretty exciting. I was Spirit Club president. Not everybody does that, Jade. But I never thought that was like a big thing either. You know, in fact, I actually demeaned it. And I did a speech and my parents came and they were like, why didn't you tell us you were going to speak in front of the entire school and get everybody to stand up and do this and that? And I was like, I didn't, and I look back now and I'm like, that's like a big deal. And I didn't think of it that way because in my mind and the way that I had been programmed and really taught, it was, you know, gifts come, you see it in getting an A plus in sports and this and that. So the question there is, how, for the people that are going, how do I identify what those are? Or maybe I've lost sight of them, or maybe I didn't think that they were a big deal. How do we bring those out or start to bring them into our lives now?
Yeah. I know it's really interesting, everyone listening. And I know some of you know Melissa. I know her well. It's funny. She's still Spirit Club president to this day. She's actually Spirit Club president, right? She's my Spirit Club president. She's everyone that she comes into contact with. She's Spirit Club president. This is what this woman does for a living, right? And this is the first part. It's the recognition that you are Spirit Club president. It's literally what you do for a living. For me, it's the recognition that I am teacher. And by the way, it's not even the recognition, it's the choice. So you mentioned the whole ownership. So yeah. Here's how to do this. We're all going into Thanksgiving. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to sit down, and what we want to have happen, I know it's a little different this year, but what we want to have happen is we want the person to say, I love the pie you made. Oh my God, you're so amazing that you did all this for us. Oh my God, you're so smart. Oh my God, like you did X, Y, Z. This is what we want. And oftentimes we'll even revert back to being kids, right? We want people to be proud of us and this and that. And here's what happens. In the need for recognition, we forget to recognize. In the need for recognition, we forget to recognize. And so what ends up happening is purpose is about what you can do for everyone out there, not what they can do for you. This is the first recognition to understand. So in other words, here's how you know you're being purposeful. When you use your pain to heal that same pain in someone else. So when it comes to what you need to do, you don't have to remember, you know, like Melissa remembers being, you know, doing her prom dress and Spirit Club president and how I remember training people when I was like in the third grade, you know, all you have to remember is there are people here right now sitting in front of me who have pain and want to be recognized. And if I put my own recognition aside to recognize them or to silently do the thing that I am here to do, I will feel fulfilled and I will be purposeful. The biggest issue we have as humans is that we feel like I need to be recognized before I do the thing. That's the opposite of purpose. Purpose is I need to do the thing and I may never be recognized. And I am so okay with that. That's the difference. Take your pain, all of your pain that makes you unique. Look for that pain in other people. Go about healing it in them without need for recognition or acknowledgement, and you have become a superhero of purpose. And this is all that is required.
Oh my God, I love that. I love that so much. Because God, I love you. That is like, I'm like, coming to see you. Because that's what we're all here to do, right? We're human. We're all one. We're all connected. It's paying it forward. It's sharing you with the world, but also being there and acknowledging one another. And I'm not saying I'm grateful for COVID, but I think it made people stop and start going, oh, I have to see you. Like, I see you. I'm connecting to you. I'm connecting to myself. I now have to look at I have to look at my own pain. You know, and I have to look at, instead of just going and running to the next thing, actually pausing and, you know, having that recognition and sharing parts of ourselves. I think that it's that sharing that's what, you know, that next level human is about going, we're here and I'm going to take that time, you know, because even if you go back to that story, you know, with the older woman that had dementia, it's like, if the guy was just rude, you know, that would have been a very different experience and probably would, you know, and that would have gone on. So now when we're talking about next level human and taking yourself there, for you, it goes beyond there's purpose, But how, what would be the embodiment of that next level human? I know one thing that, you know, you're about is mind, body, soul, like keeping everything fit from, you know, taking care of yourself to mentally doing things that are taking you there to the way that you are of service to others. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean to you when you look at the next level human and you're going, okay, I want to subscribe to that model. Mm. And there's people listening going like, that's me. Like, yes, I'm ready to go there. How does that start in terms of taking care of you?
Yeah. Well, the first thing to essentially do in my mind is, one, if you're hearing this and you're getting goosebumps, right? And you're just like, yes. And a lot of people will. It has nothing to do with me, by the way. It has to do with the fact that this is a deep-seated evolutionary thing in humans. We it's not survival of the fittest. It's survival of the friendliest. We are meant to connect, and we are that is what we are at our core. So when you hear this and it bubbles up inside of you, realize that this is innate in you. That's the first thing. Now, the next step is to sit and define for yourself. We don't do this. We don't create honor codes for ourselves. And the first step to me is ownership and taking responsibility of something. If you want to be purposeful, you have to say, okay, what will I be purposeful about? It's, you don't find it, by the way, you choose it. So the first thing you do is create an honor code for yourself. You sit down and you literally say, what experience am I going to bring to the world? So for me, I say, I am going to double down, partly because of some of my pain points in my life. I'm doubling down on honesty. I'm going to make it my religion. I'm doubling down on generosity. I'm going to make it my religion. I'm going to double down on kindness and make it my religion. And I'm going to define an honor code based on these things. Now, for all of you, it may be something else. Maybe it's good communication. Maybe it is helpfulness and serving. It could be any number of things. But the first thing is you start there and you write those things down. Right? This is how I'm going to show up. And then as soon as you do that, here's what's really cool about life. As soon as you say, here's what I'm about, guess what happens? It's what I call the law of recognition, right? A lot of people call it, the law of attraction. I call it the law of recognition because it works like this. As soon as I decide I'm going to buy a red Tesla, red Tesla starts showing up everywhere as if by magic. It's not magic. They were there all along. It's just that now you've tuned into them. So as soon as you define and say, I'm about generosity and kindness and honesty, you're going to get all the opportunity in the world to see opportunities for kindness, honesty, and generosity, right? And actually, you're even going to be confronted with your own lies and other people's lies and some people's honesty and other people's dishonesty. And this whole world is going to come into your awareness. And at that point, you've begun the process of being a purpose-driven next-level human so long as you take it on. So again, Thanksgiving, you're going to see this show up. And now it's like, can you actually be this thing without putting yourself first, without needing to be recognized, instead recognized, without needing acknowledgement? You just simply say, this is what I do on the planet. It has nothing to do with whether anyone sees it or not. It's just what I do. Yeah. I give, and I don't need anyone to say, oh, look, he gave. I don't need my name written up in the paper. I don't need anyone to say Jade is XYZ. At the end of the day, I go, did I give? Yes. Was I honest? Yes. Am I, you know, kind? Yes. And that is how this begins. Now, by the way, once this happens, a lot of us, we don't have all the skill sets. So believe it or not, I discovered that not lying and making that my religion is way harder than I thought it was. And I needed an education around that. And I needed, you know, some wisdom around that. So I went and learned and I got books and I talked to people like Melissa who, you know, who could coach me in this arena. And the other thing is that people are practiced. We've heard that before. And so what I oftentimes say is once you define this, then you have to throw yourself into the lion's den.
I never heard that. People are practiced?
Yeah, you guys have never heard that before. That's
I hadn't heard that, no. Yeah.
Well, once you become purposeful, people are practiced for your purpose, right? And so all of a sudden, now you show up at Thanksgiving and, you know, Uncle, you know, Bob is, you know, being an asshole or whatever, doing whatever. And you have to now show up, right? And like, you know, be the thing and be the purpose. And what happens is we take it upon ourselves to essentially say, I will be the antidote to asshole. Excuse my language, right? But I will be the antidote. And that's part of what purpose is about. It's like, I'm going to be the antidote to cruelty and I'm going to bring kindness. I'm going to be the antidote to greedy and I'm going to bring generosity. I'm going to be the antidote to disinformation and lying, and I'm going to bring honesty. And that's where you essentially start. And then the rest is easy from there, because you're going to have that stuff. As soon as you declare that, you're going to have it pop up immediately in your life. And you're either going to run for the hills and be scared of it, or you're going to engage. Think about it. Honor code. What do we associate with an honor code? We associate warriors. What does a warrior do? A warrior is not worth their salt if they're standing on the front lines and the horde is bearing down on them and they turn and run. The only thing that keeps them there, oftentimes think of the World War II vets and, you know, going into, the only thing that kept them there is that they had an honor code, that they said, I will fight for this. I will die for this. I will bleed for this. I will scar for this. That's why it's got to be that important. And then you will meet this sort of head on. And you'll see it, by the way. If you look around at this Thanksgiving, instead of picking everyone apart, look at the person in the kitchen who's just serving and doing this. And then think about, how long have they been doing this? They've been doing this every Thanksgiving for years. Think about the person who's telling the jokes and think about, how long have they been doing this? And have I ever acknowledged them for their energy? And think about the person who's being the asshole and think about, what pain are they dealing with that I can allay if possible? And as soon as you start looking at it like that, life begins to change.
Well, because it's so true when I say, there's that statement, hurt people hurt people.
Yes.
And when you start going, right, the guy that's the family member that's this or that, it's like, or the person that's associated that's here that's being an asshole, it's like, okay, well, what if I embrace them with love and recognize that they weren't born that way, that something made them that way, and I can embrace them? So when you're talking about a code of ethics, I love this, because as humans, we thrive on evolving. You know, which is, people are like, I don't want to grow any. I mean, do I have to grow some more? It's like, you're going to grow. Life's going to throw things at you, whether you want to or not. Yep. You're going to have to. So why not have the tools to do it? Mm-hmm. Why not have, you know, your own roadmap and manual? And guys, that's what we're doing here. It's really supporting you. And I love everything that you're sharing, Jade, because it's like, show up and be the best version of you. Not because you want people to tell you how amazing you are, but because you want to be that amazing for other people. You want to be that person for other people where they feel loved, where they feel heard, where they feel seen, where they feel respected, right? Like, and it's taking yourself to that next level. So you had mentioned, let's use the example of, you know, when you said, okay, I'm now ready to go that next level, and I want to, I'm committed in my code of ethics to not lie. So when you do this code of ethics for yourself, do you do multiple things at one time? Like, will you kind of create a new code of ethics going into 2021? Or is this just something that you're always kind of adjusting and going, okay, I've mastered that now, and I really feel called? Do you go off of your own kind of guidance on what's going on in your life, and you're like, it's time to kind of clean that up?
Yeah, it's evolving. And I have a saying, a lot of people say rise to the occasion. I say, you rise to the level of your training. So you guys have heard that before. So to me, I say create the occasion. And so what I do is I create what I would call, I call them PRs. So I come from the fitness world. So a PR is a personal record. So if I can deadlift 500 pounds, a PR would be 505, let's say. But I create honesty PRs where I have difficult conversations on purpose so I can be completely honest with people, right? So one of the things that I did a while back, I said, I will never talk behind anyone's back ever. I will never say anything behind anyone's back that I would not confidently say to their face. This creates a lot of discomfort in my life, in a sense. But I create these times to say the tough things. And now when I have to have difficult conversations, they're still difficult, but they're not nearly as scary as they were. Same with generosity. So I've done generosity PRs where I have essentially, you know,
you're
my last generosity
person I know.
And see that I love that. So there I got some acknowledgement, right, from someone who I deeply respect and admire. And it feels amazing to get that acknowledgement. But the really beautiful thing about it is even if I don't get acknowledged like that, the fact that I'm doing these PRs, I get to see, my brain actually gets to acknowledge me, right? Yeah. So one of the things Melissa and I were talking about is this idea of being proud of yourself is the best kind of proud. Yeah. So yes, Melissa saying that to me makes me, you know, feel all giddy inside. But most important, when I do EPR and not even ask for reciprocation or acknowledgement, all of a sudden, it's almost like there's a watcher inside of me. Our brain is watching us all the time. It's judging us the same way we judge other people. And it essentially says, Jade, you just did that, man. You did that for the world. Congratulations. And I get to feel this sense of pride looking at myself. And there's nothing like that. And you do that enough times. And then Aunt Marge's, you know, whatever she says to you doesn't matter as much because you see that she's saying whatever she's saying because of the things that she has gone through. And you essentially get to say back to her, in whatever way there's love there, you get to say it back to her in a way that helps her be a better human. Here's the interesting thing. We've all heard of the different, like you've heard of the golden rule, right? We've heard of the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is more of a culture. It's not a bad rule. It's more of a culture level rule, though, in my mind. And then we've also heard of the platinum rule. Treat other people the way they want to be treated, right? I think the purpose rule goes like this. Treat other people according to their best next level self, their highest potential. When you do that, it doesn't mean you're just constantly showering warm fuzzies on everyone all the time. Sometimes it's a very honest conversation. Yep. And I oftentimes say honesty is kinder than kindness in a sense. And I had to learn that the hard way. But you show up and you treat them as if they are the human that can make a huge difference for other humans. And you literally speak to them not that way, not in a patronizing way, because that's wanting power. You don't want power. You just want to spread purpose. And when you have these very honest conversations with people in these ways and treat them according to their highest best self, the law of charity, assuming they actually do are good and want to be good and do it differently. It doesn't mean you're always the kindest human on the planet and just telling everyone they're wonderful. Sometimes you're actually telling them some very hard truths, but you're doing it in a way that makes them feel like it's possible and makes them feel like you love them. And that is a difficult line to walk, but we're all capable of doing it. And it's done, by the way, by watching people like the kid. You know, the guy was 22. I wanted to be him that day who was checking out that woman. And that's how it happens. Again, I think people are watching us all the time. We're dealing with a virus right now, so we all understand what contagion is. Well, guess what? Cruelty is contagious. Kindness is also contagious. Absolutely. Honesty is contagious. Generosity is contagious. If you're looking out in the world and seeing your family being crazy and seeing the world is crazy, take it upon yourself to say, I am going to do something about that. And I don't expect anyone to be kind to me, but I guarantee I'm going to bring kindness. It's just a choice.
My head's spinning. I'm like, wait. You spoke about something that I think is so important, and it's actually, I think I just shared a video on this, and I said it was one of the ways that I learned to love myself, and it's about praising yourself, and you're saying it in a different way, but it's essentially, you're like, when my mind is like, oh, you did a good thing, right? It feels so good that you no longer need to outsource those accolades from others because you become that for yourself. Because it's, you're in a container within you just going, that was amazing. You're amazing. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you for the way that you're showing up. And I really truly believe nothing feels worse than when we fail on a commitment to ourselves. When we say we're going to do something, I feel like it's like an energetic slap across the face when we say, this is who I am now. Even when you do these, you know, this code of ethics, right? Like I know I said, this was a while back and I was like, I'm done gossip of any kind. You know, like there's certain, especially being a girl, but there's certain friends that you know that like you're going to get on and they love to just start. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm just done. And I got to a point so much where it was no longer my system, like abhorred it, you know, even if I did one comment, it would just feel like, and I would need to purge it and say like, hey, and this, I said something I didn't mean it to, but I just want to clear the air. And I think that just speaking into what you're saying, that as you do this, I think it's can be challenging at first, but then you start aligning to it and you become that next level of yourself. Mm. And it starts feeding your soul and you love who you're becoming. But at first it's a, you know, it's kind of a dance because you're not, you know, like you had shared with the lying, like at first, you know, was it a little bit of a little rusty at first?
Yeah, it was actually, you know, when I started getting into the lying, what I realized is that once I defined I'm not lying anymore, I found out I was lying a whole lot more than I even thought. So all of a sudden,
like those little white lies, you're like, yep, oh,
just, you know, ridiculous stuff. Like someone, you know, on the elevator asking me something and me finding myself saying something that was completely untrue just to some random stranger. And then, but the fact that I said, I will not do it anymore, this is natural, right? Your brain goes, hey, remember when you told me we weren't going to do this anymore? Let me show you all the places you're doing. The opposite of that is someone saying, I never do that. And here's another thing that you'll see once you start walking this path. Life is sometimes I literally think that we must be in, like, I literally think this is some kind of, you know, video game we're in or the Matrix or something. Because what will happen is you will get the same patterns and the same emotions and the same obstacles again and again, almost like we're playing Super Mario Brothers or something. And you have to get past the big boss on level one.
You'll get these things. You have to keep clearing it.
Yep. You get them over and over again until you have mastered it. And then the next thing comes. Yep. Right. And then you have to deal with that. And this is life. So the idea, you said it best. You said, you know, people being afraid of change. You have to me, change and death, all of us, those are the two certainties in life. Once you understand that, then you say, well, let me make this a game then. Why am I here? And I believe we're only here for three reasons. Learn, teach, love. Yep. Period. If we're going to do those things, we have to define, we have to understand our spiritual fingerprint and our pain. We have to define how we're going to show up in the world, our honor code. And then we have to do the work of doing that, realizing that life is going to give us feedback. And I'll give you one more hint about this for those of you who are going to do this. I have an acronym that I like. I call it the AFRAID acronym. Okay. So when you feel afraid.
He has the best acronyms, by the way. He has an acronym for everything. And they're like so good. I'm always like, okay, what's that one? I've got like a whole notes section about Jane and
you're really going to like this one. If you've heard this one before though, right? I think, but the AFRAID acronym, it basically goes like this. When you feel repeated anger, frustration, resentment, anxiety, indifference, or depression, any of these emotions that come up again and again, what it means is that you are ignoring something in your life that you need to transcend. And you transcend it by getting in touch with purpose. Repeated emotions are like being in a traffic circle and going round and round and round and round. Yeah. And always looking left and never looking right to the next turn that
comes.
It's
like being on a diet.
It's like being on a diet.
Yeah, it's like no, I'll just.
And here's what we humans do. And by the way, it's not judgment. I do it too. It's a very base level thing to do though. But here's what we do. We do this. It's their fault. They're toxic. They do this thing. It's a toxic relationship. It's a bad juju for me. They're this and that. I'm an empath. They're not. We start to set ourselves apart from all these people. Like I'm empathetic. Yep. They're not. I'm compassionate. They're not. Instead, I go like this. Here's the path of the next level human. If it's in your sphere of awareness and it is repeating itself, then it is you and not them. And the faster that you recognize that if these things keep happening to you, it's you. You could pretty much be sure it's them if you never get liars in your life and then one all of a sudden shows up and is lying, lying, lying. But if there are liars everywhere in your life, this is a sign that you're either a liar yourself or you don't know how to handle lying and you don't have boundaries. And there's something there for you. So emotions to me are nothing but road signs. They're pointing you in a particular direction. So when you feel afraid, understand that you are now psychologically stuck. You're not living your purpose. Once you start living your purpose, what happens is anger turns into still a little anger, but more motivation and inspiration. Anxiety turns into all of a sudden the ability to choose.
Yep.
Depression all of a sudden turns into anxiety. It kind of goes up the thing. You go from depression to indifference to anxiety to right. You go right up the chain until you get to, we're playing almost like an emotional alchemist. You take one emotion like anger and you go, ooh, I can use that to feel motivated, right? And you don't stay stuck there anymore. And motivated for what? Motivated to do my purpose. Here's an example, by the way, because I know some people, here's another story that I hope will drive this purpose thing home. Imagine this for pain in life. Imagine you drop your little kid off at the bus stop, wave goodbye to them, They never come home, right? And you find out they were raped, they were killed, they were thrown and dumped in the woods somewhere. Now imagine, now I get this, it just saying that gave me this weird, like just awful energy.
Yeah.
Maybe it did for you too. I just felt like, oh my God, this is so, it's awful. Now imagine this. Now imagine you're that mom and you turn it into, you take that pain that is uniquely yours, right? And you go out into the world and you say, I will not have anyone else suffer this pain. I will figure out what it takes to get pictures on milk cartons. I will figure I will go to the state legislature. I will go to the milk lobby. I will go to Congress. I will do everything I can so that every time someone sits down to have their breakfast cereal, they will look across and see a missing child sitting there on their milk carton. Now, if you're a child of the 80s like I am, you will remember this. You know how many children were saved because of that? And this is because yeah. one person took a deep, deep pain that no one can possibly understand and turned it into magic for thousands, if not millions of other families. That's purpose. Who does that? A purposeful person does that, not a person seeking power and recognition. That's a person who just said, I want to heal the world from something that I am uniquely qualified to heal the world from. And then showing up and doing it. And that's a true story. We remember that. Yeah. We are all capable of that.
Oh my gosh. And it's saying that it's taking something that you experienced in this life and made it not just about you, but about knowing again that you can pay it forward, that we're all connected, that in that experience, you can turn it into something that can support and help and share and change the world and change others. So I do, you know, you had mentioned earlier, you know, we're here. You said there were three reasons that you believe we're here. And what were they again?
Learn, love.
That's right. And so I too believe that our souls, I believe we came here to experience life, to expand, to show up, to have epic adventures, experiences, just to see what, just to keep growing and changing and evolving and have as many experiences in the earthly plane that we literally can have, and surpassing any human type limitations that we put on ourselves. And I love what you were saying about afraid, because if you look at those, something that I always share with my clients in general, or with my community, is the path to feeling good never feels bad. And I always say, you know, when you're disconnected from your higher power, when you're disconnected from the divine source, God, universe, whatever it is that you believe in, because you are feeling, thinking, and doing things that don't feel good. And everything that you said in that acronym, fear, depression, you know, anger, we weren't born with those, you know, those anxiety, those are things that we've experienced since being human, right? Either getting projected on us or through programming, through life experience and internalization that then created that in our systems, right? So I'm really just saying that I love so much that you gave that simple acronym for people to really move through those and understand that your emotions are, they're constantly showing you the way to your healing and to move through to your own personal evolution, to a better way, to your happiness and fulfillment. I love that so much.
Yeah, and I think what happens, and you're saying it so nicely, is that as you look at this AFRAID acronym and all these emotions, understand that it's not that we humans will feel all of these. It's being stuck in one, number one. And it's also understanding, am I afraid or am I activated? To me, here's the difference. Being afraid, being stuck in any of these emotions means I am stuck in a negative pattern. Being activated means I'm right on the edge of afraid, but I'm excited about the leap. I don't necessarily know what's going to happen, but when I'm activated, there's actually this excitement there. It feels like I'm being pulled. I want to go. I'm unsure. You know, I know, you know, but I'm not really afraid, because if I was really afraid, I wouldn't be standing on the ledge of it getting ready to leap. But when you're activated, you know you're going. Right. You know, you're actually moving. You're unsure for sure, and that's the difference. So when you have, you know, this feeling, because people be like, well, I feel afraid. Some of my best times I've been afraid, but I took the leap anyway. And that's because you weren't really afraid. You were activated. You went through all these things and you're sitting on the edge of it going, okay, I'm ready to jump. And that's actually what you want to do. So think about it this way. You have to move through these stages. Think about that, right? So when you get to the edge of a level in Super Mario Brothers or whatever, you have to go through this again. So yes, these are guideposts. Like, okay, I need to go through these states and I'm ready to make the jump into the next phase. And that's how you do it, you know? And it feels very alive. It's like the gamification of life in a sense.
No, it's so true. And I think when people see it repeated, they start to question and go, was I doing the wrong thing? Did I make the wrong move? Was that not the path? Am I right? And it's sometimes you're faced with the same thing, just with five different faces to get to that next level. Yeah. And I love that we're talking about it like a game, because that's how it feels. Sometimes it feels like, you know, I've had people say to me, I feel like the universe is playing a trick on me, like that I have to prove how badly I want this. And I'm like, sometimes I think we are, you know, we are, I hate to say we're being tested, but that it is like, are you really going to that next level? Are you going to keep choosing to go and be that next level of yourself? Because you're going to be faced with it. It needs to kind of become strengthening of that muscle.
And we all know what this is like. If you just think about it, like if we're all sitting around right now, let's say we see a teenager, you know, driving down the street with loud music and their muffler on their car, you know, making all kinds of noise, right? We all know what that's about, right? We all go, okay, wanting to be seen, need for status, culture level behavior. But we've escaped it in a sense. So we've gone past that particular level so that we can see it. Now, if we went and hung out with a bunch of teenagers, we would feel isolated to a degree because we would be like, I'm not on this plane in a sense anymore. Yeah. And it's the same way when but it's a good reminder because all of us humans can slip back into those things, which is why times like Thanksgiving and family gatherings are wonderful. Here's what they do. They remind you who you were.
Yeah.
And they teach you who you currently are. And they also, this is what's really interesting. Think about what you do to your family as well. What your family does, we all of us humans have a need for certainty. So we want Melissa to stay Melissa. We want Melissa to be the Melissa that we know. So when Melissa changes, we're not going to immediately treat Melissa as if she's changed. We're going to want to treat her like the old Melissa that makes us feel more comfortable. Now, the degree to which Melissa essentially gets you, everyone else on board and says, I love you guys. Don't you see that I am who I am now because you're my people and you partly were a part of me making this leap into this better place. Then that brings everyone else along with them. But if Melissa comes back and says, you keep treating me like this and that, and I can't stand it. And I, you know, then what happens is people go, oh, okay, good. She's who she used to be. So they pull you right back into that old box.
Yeah.
Also, don't do it to other people. Don't let people put you in a box, right? And don't put them in a box. Just like you're living and training and growing and going to your next level, they're also living and training and growing and having experiences. This is why I say treat them according to their best selves as if they've also made leaps and understandings. Even if you see the old patterns, the better thing to do is catch the new patterns. That's what you want to do.
No, and I love that. And I think that's just such perfect guidance going into the holidays too, because it's, you know, it's the same thing. It's like, you want people to meet you for who you are now. So don't go in meeting them for who they were, you know, so many years ago, or with that one thing that they did that had you kind of, you know, or just basically give people a clean slate.
Absolutely.
Give people a clean slate and get to meet them with who they are now and take away the preconceived notions so that everyone can be their best selves and holding them to that. Jade, I love you. I love this so much. This is perfect timing. So where can everybody find you? We've got you on Instagram at Jade Tita.
Yeah, Instagram at JT. I hang out there a lot, so definitely go there. DM me. I'll try to get to your DMs for sure. JTita.com is my website. And then I have a podcast. I have a podcast called The Next Level Human Podcast. So if you're into this kind of stuff that Melissa and I were talking about, that's where to find me.
Yeah, you have to check him out. He's epic. He's amazing, as you already saw. Jade, thank you so much for being here. Have an incredible Thanksgiving to you and to everybody. And I will see you next week. Thank you so much again.
Love you.
Love you.
Thank you for joining me today. If this podcast episode was super helpful for you, please share with your friends. Guys, sharing is caring. What would mean the world is an awesome review on iTunes. Simply click and give your 5-star review so I can keep bringing you great content to support you in shining bright, playing big, and living as your most beautiful, authentic, and powerful self in a body you love. This show doesn't stop here, so join our exclusive and private Facebook community called Wholeness with Melissa Catherine. Simply ask to join to receive endless complimentary videos, monthly Facebook lives exclusive for this community, and be a part of an awesome, sacred, safe space of incredible, like-minded women just like you, where you can feel heard, express, and receive additional guidance. And I have something else that's incredible for you this month. So if you've been struggling to understand why you sabotage the things that you want, girl, this is my zone of genius and this is what I do. So I have created a quiz for you based off of my international best-selling book called Eat Right for Your Archetype. This quiz is going to help you to identify which archetype you are so you can break free from self-sabotage to release weight and step into your power in life. So this is so much more. Even if you don't have to release weight, this is about being healthy, and your health and wellness is what empowers you to your greatness. So simply head on over to melissacatherine.com/quiz to take that quiz today, and you will receive your results right away, right in your inbox. All right. Thanks so much, guys. And I will see you in the next episode.